You know, I'm kind of jealous of Pastor Jason and out there in Tennessee. I'd rather be in Tennessee. But listen, I'm excited to preach this word this morning. Pastor Jason did. Hi from Passion Community Church. Hope you have a safe trip home. Anybody else on vacation, enjoy your trip. Have a safe trip home. This morning we're going to talk about victory by faith. There's a reason why I had Corey sing that song. I'm going to see a victory. Because one thing that I understand and I know have been around for a long time in the church is we seem to lack victory. Now, that's an individual basis, but it's also on a church-wide basis. Sometimes we lack victory in our lives. We lack victory in our homes. We lack victory in our churches. And the only way to see victory is to plan for victory. Let me say it again. The only way to see victory is to plan for victory.
Now, the only reason that we have victory is because we don't plan for victory. The reason why it is because we don't plan for it. We think that we have to sit in the same old all the time, that we have to just rest in the same old, that we may not be able to get beyond where we are right now. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if we would plan for victory, we will see victory. Someone say amen. Let's pause right real quick and then go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day and for these beautiful people. God, we have gathered here this morning to, Lord, connect with you. God, we've gathered here to hear your word, to celebrate you, to honor you, to worship you, and to give you praises. Lord, as we come together, let us receive what you have for us today. Help us to apply what you've given us for our lives, and Lord, we would live in victory as you've called us to do. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, the only way to plan for victory is to have a vision for victory. A lot of times we don't have a plan because we just don't see ourselves having victory. The Bible tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. If we would get it in our hearts that we can have and obtain what we really desire, what we really want, whether it be a victory over your sin, whether it be a victory over your circumstance, whether it be a victory in your employment, whether it be a victory in the health, in your health, in your body, whatever it is, we have access to the one who has all victory because his name literally is victory. His name is Jesus. We don't have victory because we don't plan for victory. We don't plan for victory because we don't have a vision for it. I'm here this morning to just activate right now your vision for your victory in your life. Now listen, your victory may look a whole lot different than your neighbor's victory. Right? Maybe you have a vision. Maybe you have dreamed of owning your own business. Maybe you have dreamed of having health in your body. Maybe you have dreamed of having success in whatever field that you're living in, whatever field of business that you're involved in, whether it be in a factory, whether it be in the business world, whatever it is. God's got a plan for you to have that victory, but the victory has to have a vision. Let that vision begin in your life today. I want to stir your heart this morning to think about that which you really, truly desire. And whether it be, I desire to have a wife. Whether you're a young man in this building this morning, hey, I desire to have a good wife. Or a woman in this building, I desire to have a good husband. Whatever that is, get a vision for it this morning. We have not because we don't have a vision for it. We don't plan for it because we don't have a vision for it. Moses set out 12 spies to spy out the land of Israel where they were heading. 10 spies came back with a bad report. Oh, there's giants in the land. Oh, it's flowing with milk and honey. There's enough for all of us and then some. But There's big giants. We can't overcome the odds. We can't overcome the armies that are there. We can't. But two of them came back with the vision to get into that land, and not only get into that land, to overtake that land and be victorious in it. And Joshua was one of them, and Caleb was the other. Joshua had a vision to make it to this promised land, to take hold what God had already promised them. But it took a vision What did Joshua see? Oh, I'm sure he saw the same giants in the way, right? I'm sure he saw all the armies that were there. I'm sure he saw everything that was stacked up against them. But how many knows that what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn into our good? What obstacles lie before us can become opportunity for us to enter into the victory that God has planned for us. But we have to have a vision. And we got to stop telling ourselves, hey, I can't do it. I got this, I got this, I got this. I ain't got the time, I ain't got the energy, I ain't got the money, I ain't got the blah, 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 fill in the blank. What we don't have is we don't have a vision for it. I'm here this morning to stoke that vision in your heart this morning. Stoke it. The only way to have a vision for victory is to have strong and growing faith. See, the one thing that Joshua had, that Caleb had, that the others did not have was faith. They believe, he believed, he dared believe that if God said it, he would believe it and he would follow through with it. God had promised him that land. They had promised the whole children of Israel the land that he was sending them to. And there was nothing in Joshua's mind that was going to keep them from obtaining the things that God had planned for them. Now listen, God has a plan for your life. A plan to prosper you and not to hurt you. A plan to help you and to grow you into what you can become in Him through Christ Jesus. The reason that most of us don't get there is because we don't think that we can get there. Let's grab a vision this morning. Let's start growing in our faith that we might obtain the victory that you need today. Listen, if I was to go down the row, each row, and call each one of you, I know each one of you have a something in your mind, even right at this very moment, that you really desperately need victory over. Whether it's sickness in your body, whether it's something in your mind, whether it's relationships with your family, whether it's, you fill in the blank, whether it's something, a sin that you've been dealing with for a long time and you just can't get over it because you just can't see it happening. God's got a plan for your victory. It involves your faith. The question then remains, how do I grow strong in my faith? I'm glad you asked. There's five ways this morning that I'm going to share with you that we can see a victory by faith. Everybody say victory by faith. Victory by faith. The first one is this. The first way of five ways to see a victory by faith is to dare to believe without seeing. Dare to believe without seeing. Now, don't get me wrong. Seeing and having a vision for something are two different things. Having a vision for your victory is something that's done on the inside. Seeing that is something that's done on the outside. We see with our eyes, we have vision in our heart. Understand. John chapter 20, verse 29 says this. When Jesus came to Thomas, the doubter, and showed him his hands and his side, he said, stick your finger in the nail-scarred hands and stick your hand into my side and see that it is me, because Thomas doubted that Jesus was alive. He said, I've been crucified, but I've been raised from the dead. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believe. It's about believing without seeing. What we don't see is what Thomas and the others did see, which was a resurrected Savior with the nail prints in his hands and the sword print in his side. What we don't see is what they saw, but we still believe today because of what they saw. They saw it. They recorded it. They were witnesses to it. We didn't see any of it. But blessed are you who believe, but you did not see. Now, where do we believe? We believe in our heart. We have a vision for it in our hearts. Why? Because that's the place where He placed it. And our faith grows from that position of where God put that in our heart. We don't see it with our eyes, but we believe it in our heart. Because our heart has vision for it. Our salvation hinges on believing without seeing. And so let's transpose this into your faith, into your victory. If we can believe that Christ was resurrected from the dead and we receive Him as our Lord and Savior and we receive salvation in His name, how much more of a leap is it for us to believe something that He wants to do in our life that's going to bring us victory? That's not much. We have to have more faith in believing the first than the latter. Romans 8:24 says this, "For in this hope we were saved." We believe without seeing, but we're saved through that faith. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. There's a vision developing in our hearts for what that which we hope for by faith, and we establish that we will persevere until that comes about, which was not. We got to think in our minds and believe in our hearts without seeing the end that this thing is going to happen, and that's called vision. We have to have a vision for our victory. What are you struggling with today? What is your big struggle today? I can't make the mortgage payment. I can't make the car payment. I can't do this and I can't do that. Listen, God's got an answer for it on the other side of it. If we would just believe by faith and we would walk according to faith and we would do it without seeing it happen in front of our eyes, we will agree with God and work with God and it will come to pass. I'm here to stir your faith this morning. I'm here to build your faith this morning. Listen, you got a whole lot more ahead of you than what's behind you. You got a whole lot more in store for you ahead of you than what's behind you. And God wanting to bring us into those victories that we just didn't think were possible. We got to eagerly wait for it with perseverance. If we see it, if we have it in our hands, we no longer hope for it. Right? But faith says this. Faith says that God has my best interest at heart. He's always working with me to obtain those things that He wants to put into my life. And all I got to do is walk in agreement with that and persevere until it happens. Someone say amen. The second way to see a victory by faith is this. We got to dominate our circumstances with the force of faith. Let me say it again. We have to dominate our circumstances with the force of faith. Which is going to win? Your current circumstance or your faith? God gave us this thing called faith for a reason, for a purpose. And listen, faith has to dominate the situation, because if faith does not dominate the situation, we will just sit down, we will grumble, we will cry, we will do all these things, but we will not proceed with the victory. I'm here to tell you that we have to let faith dominate the situation and circumstance. You had faith to bring you to the cross. Now get beyond the cross and walk in your savedness, walk in your redemption, walk in the truth, walk in the light, and let the power of God reside in you that you might propel into what God has for you in your life today. Speaking of today, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this. It says, now faith, not yesterday's faith, not tomorrow's faith. Now faith. Are you with me this morning? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance. How many knows what substance is? It's something that you can hold in your hands. Substance, faith, now faith, today's faith, has substance to it, and it's of the things that we hope for. I hope that my body will be healed. I'm hoping that my mind will be healed. I'm hoping that my sins will be forgiven. I'm hoping that whatever situation that you find yourself in, whatever circumstance that is going on in your life, you will find that faith will have the absolute power to knock it out, whatever it is. It's the evidence of what we do not yet see. Faith is like a force that is stronger than the mightiest of rivers. Understand, I want to paint a picture for you right here, a picture in your mind. Faith is like the strongest of rivers, right? And the substance of this force has the power to dominate every circumstance in your life. And as a believer, we have a choice whether to cooperate with the flowing river or to swim against it. A lot of times we'll just either plop down right in the middle of it and not go anywhere, or even worse, we'll try to swim against it. Huh? What's God trying to do in your life? What is the sin that God's trying to operate and get out of your life so you can walk in freedom and in victory? What are the things in your life that are holding you back? Are you swimming against the current, or are you going with the flow of the river? Listen, I'm quite sure you will get a whole lot farther if you will just turn around and start flowing with this river of faith and let this faith dominate every circumstance in your life instead of listening to the naysayers, instead of listening to your neighbors or your brothers and sisters or whoever it is. Oh, you'll never get there. I won't even try that. I wouldn't even go there. I wouldn't step out into that business opportunity. I wouldn't go to this. I wouldn't do that. No, listen, we got to stop listening to the naysayers because they're going to want us to go the other direction. Turn around and swim. Start swimming in the river of faith because it has its own power. Your faith, if you would realize how much power your faith has, you as an individual, you would start swimming with this current. Why? Because God's directing that current. Understand this. It's part of our salvation package. Listen, He's come to give us life and that more abundantly, not just eternally. And then not just in heaven, but here on earth. Listen, your salvation, your heavenly existence starts the day you receive Christ. Our salvation goes from there all the way through eternity. We don't have to wait till we die to get there. Listen, we are there already. We are there already. And this faith that God dishes out to us helps us to swim this current that's going in that direction with Him. He's the one that's leading the current. He's the one that's telling the current which way to go. And if we would just get in our hearts and in our minds that we have the faith to change and alter our circumstance with the power of God, we would jump right on that bandwagon. Amen. We would jump into that boat. We would jump into that river. And we would just start swimming. Why? Because we know on the other end of that river is what we have hope for. It's the evidence of what we do not see. It's the substance of what we do not see. The evidence of what we've hoped for. We have the ability to cooperate with that faith that God has given us. The third thing. We got to practice using our faith. Oh, this is simple. We got to practice. Does anybody get to the World Series without practicing? Does anybody get to the NBA Finals without practicing? You don't even get through Little League without practicing. What makes us think that we can get anywhere with our faith if we don't practice it? Doctors become doctors. They have a practice, right? That's scary, the thought to some people, you know. Why they call it a practice, I don't know. They're still practicing. And when you walked into that office, guess who you are? You're the next guy that they're practicing on. Or gal. We got to practice our faith. You know, listen, it takes just a little bit of effort. It doesn't take monumental effort. I want to go back to what I just said before. The power that you have by your faith is extreme. It's monumental. But we don't tap into it because we don't think about it. We don't practice it. We don't apply it. We don't do anything with it. Why? Because I'm just happy being saved. Well, listen, God's not happy with you just being saved. Salvation encompasses a lot of things. Am my friends, not just eternal life in heaven. Salvation encompasses your entirety of your being. Jesus came to make us whole, not just eternal. Understand what I'm saying. We have a clear path to wholeness if we will simply get on the faith train. If we would believe it, we would just have a little bit of faith. And if we would practice our faith. Romans 10:17 says that, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and you're doing it right now. Hearing by the word of God, which we're talking about right now. When you begin to ingest in your spirit this, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to understand who you are in Christ. You begin to understand what is in store for your life as you apply this word. Listen, we gotta get busy applying the word of, not just listening to it. James said, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Oh, wait a minute, that involves some kind of work. I don't know if I'm up to the task. No, you are. Listen, if you would understand how little it takes to get from hearing the word to applying the word, man, it would revolutionize the way you live, the way you think. It would revolutionize the outcomes of every endeavor in your life. This applies, listen, your faith applies to everything that involves your life, everything. From this, listen, I got faith that I can get up in the morning and make coffee, amen. Hallelujah for the person that wakes up in the morning and turns on the coffee pot, hallelujah. I got faith that that coffee is going to be ready and it's going to taste great. All right, let that, listen, it's as small as that, but if you start small, you can end up big. Whatever it is. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. We got to get into his word. We got to get into his word so we can know his word. The problem with too many Christians nowadays is they don't know the word of God. They know what they've heard. Come on, somebody. They know what they've heard. They know what they've listened to. I've listened to this podcast, and therefore I know. No, you don't. You get into this word and you start reading it for yourself and you start asking God questions. God, what does this mean? What does this mean in my life? How do I apply this scripture to me? How do I apply this scripture today? What does this have to do with me? Get into his word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. I would never tell you anything that wasn't in this thing. That's not what I do. That's not what Pastor Jason does. That's why I love this church. We're all about this word. It's about this word. Not my word, not somebody else's word. See, that's where we get off. Listen, that's how we're swimming along in this river. That's how we get off of this river. We go some other direction. It's because we begin to listen to other people and other things other than the word of God. We build up the gospel in our own mind according to who we are. We say, well, this is okay, and that's okay, and this is okay. No, what does the word of God say? This is not okay for me. Why? Because it's going to bring about my destruction. But this is good for me if I follow this path. That's what the Word of God says. That's what the Word of God does. It builds our life. It doesn't take down our life. It doesn't destroy our life. We got to get to the point where we believe with God on the small things and continually confess them and expect them to happen at the end. There's victory at the end of all of those things. But we have to get discipline. Oh, there's that word. Oh, stop it. Stop it right now, Pastor. There's that word, discipline. Oh, boy. Nobody wants to do that. Huh? We all just want to fly by the seat of our pants. Don't get me wrong. I've lived that, done that, been there. Probably wrote a book on it. The problem with that kind of living is, though, if we don't discipline ourselves to do this, we'll never obtain what God has for us victory-wise. Like I said, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. I plan on seeing the victories of God in my life. I plan on seeing the victories of God in my family. I plan on seeing what God has in store for me for the rest. Listen, I'm 54 years old. I have a limited time left on this earth, but I'm here to tell you, I want to live in the victory of God every day, every single day of the rest of it. And I want those around me to live in the same kind of victory. Your victory is going to look a little bit different than everybody else's victory. And that's okay. That's all right. God knows what you have need of. He said, Jesus said that, the sparrows of the air and the flowers of the field, they don't spin, they don't toil, they don't do all of it. But the expectation is that God will take care of them the same way He takes care of us. But we got to accept it and receive it by faith. In confessing with our mouth and believing in our hearts, if that brings salvation, how much more victory do we obtain by believing and confessing other things? Oh, the biggest miracle in your life was that you got saved. Make no bones about it. The biggest miracle that ever happened to you was the day that the gospel of Jesus Christ was presented to you and you said, I want to make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. That was the biggest miracle of your life. But if we believed in our heart, as Romans 10, 9 and 10 said, and confessed with our mouth, that confession was turned into salvation. How much more if we speak those things that are not as though they were, if we believe by faith and we speak it, it will come about just like your salvation did. Think about that for a moment. Now listen, I'm not into this name it and claim it, blab it and grab it theology. I'm seriously just all about the simple word of God. And we live way, way, way below our position. Who are we in Christ? Who are you in Christ? Oh, you're a son. You're a daughter of the Most High. What are we talking about? That makes you a prince or a princess. That makes you so much more than what you think about in your own thoughts that you are. You are blessed and highly favored. You are the apple of His eye. You are the head and not the tail. You are the first and you're not the last. But we don't believe it because we don't plan on that victory. We don't see it. We don't have a vision for it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, build a vision for that. Learn how to take your victory by faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24 says this. Jesus said, "For assuredly I say to you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." What? Wait a minute. You just blew my mind with that. Oh, wait, I've heard that verse before. But I'm here, listen, I'm here to put this verse into context for you right now. Because it's your faith that's at stake. It's your faith that will either agree with this statement that Jesus made, or it's a lack of faith that will say, well, that's not for me. He said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them." Wait, Pastor Chuck didn't say that. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said that. He said, if you will have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved from here to there, and it will move. What mountain is it in your life that you need moving? Because it all comes down to this one thing, your faith. Do you have any, and how strong is it? Have I been building this faith? Have I been sitting on it? Have I been walking in this faith, or have I been left it behind? Because listen, it's this faith that's going to get you to do the things you need to do and say the things you need to say and go to the one who you need to pray to that's going to make them happen. Someone say amen. Amen. He said, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things will be done, they will be done." Well, Jesus, you're talking about moving mountains of earth. Listen, I moved 8 tons of dirt last week, or the week before last. 8 tons. Okay, it just so happened to be the 8 tons of dirt that they scooped out, but they put my swimming pool in, and they put it over by my shed, and it was full of rocks, it was full of roots, and moving 8 tons of dirt by hand with a shovel and a wheelbarrow is a lot of work. It took me days, not hours, days. And you're telling me, Jesus, that I can move this mountain that has like quadruple the number of tons of dirt and tell it to go into the sea? You're telling me that I can build faith that big? He's saying, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what you believe in me. Believe in this also. Because this is what he's teaching. This is what he's preaching. He said, don't let any obstacle come into your way, because you can, by faith, remove the obstacle and clear the path to where you're going. It's your faith. It's your faith that does that. Your faith. That's number four. Number five. Add to your faith corresponding action. Add to your faith corresponding action. Mark 5, verse 28, Jesus says this. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. What's he talking about? He's talking about, well, actually it wasn't Jesus that said it. It was actually Mark that said it. Anyway, there was a woman that had the issue of blood for years and years and years. Went to the doctors. Doctors couldn't do anything about it. Well, we can't help you. She went to the one person that she knew could. His name was Jesus Christ. But here's the problem with that. The problem was this, that everywhere that Jesus was going at this time in the history of Jesus, that there were throngs of people. There were so many people that were surrounding Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was performing miracle after miracle. Jesus was speaking the word of life that people wanted to hear, needed to hear, and applied to. He was doing all these things. And there were so many people that she could not possibly get to. She might have thought to herself, you know, I remember what Jesus said about moving, you know, faith can move mountains, and I can speak to this mountain and be cast in. And she probably got it into her mind. I see Jesus up there. He's about a quarter mile away from me because of all these people. I see him up there. I see all the people around him. How am I going to get through this mountain? She had a vision for it. She made a plan for it. She said, I got faith, but I got to get to the one who has my healing power in his body. I got to get to the one who has all the victory that I need right now, because I have now faith. I'm going to walk through these people and I'm going to get to Jesus and I'm going to touch his garment. I'm telling you, that's super faith. That's just a little bit of faith. How did she get there? We'll never know. It doesn't say. But I can venture a guess. I can venture a guess. Father, I have this issue. I'm bleeding and I can't make it stop. And I feel so weak and I'm so powerless. I can't. God, I need your help. I need you today. I need you right now. And he made a way. And so she weaved her way through these people. She's getting elbowed. She's getting, what are you doing? She's getting booted. Hey, don't disturb the master. He's busy healing people. Huh? You know, obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. She already cleared the obstacles of all the doctors that couldn't help her. But she went to the one who could. And she crawled on her hands and knees that last little bit. And got to just the hem of his garment. She couldn't even touch him in a hole. She couldn't put her hand on his back, because by this time she was so exhausted that she couldn't possibly take not one more step. You got to understand what I'm saying. The woman was physically unable to do hardly anything because she was so anemic. She didn't have any blood hardly left in her body. But yet she made it to the one who could bring her the victory and bring it now. And she reached out touch the hem of his garment. He said, oh, hey, wait a minute. I felt virtue flow out of me. Who touched me? And one of his disciples said, Master, look around. There's so many people. How can we tell which one touched you? Oh, but Jesus knew. Why? Because she was still there, crouched down on the ground. After receiving what God had given her, she was just getting ready to stand up. And Jesus looked at her, and the love of Christ was exuding from his body, and the power of her faith come to fruition because she took action on her vision. She had a vision to be healed, but she had the faith to get her there. We got to make our faith put into action. James says it this way, faith without works is dead. Well, yeah, it is. If you don't apply it, it doesn't do anything for you. How can your faith do anything for you if you do not step out in it? If you don't walk through that crowd, crawl through the crowd to touch Jesus. How does it happen? It will not happen. How does it happen? The first thing she had to do was go to God first and pray. Jesus said, if you pray, these things will happen for you. I got to pray. I got to believe it by faith. I got to let faith take action by what I do. I got to put feet. Listen, you can pray to God. Hey, God, I need this, I need this 8 tons of dirt moved. And I need it now. He said, well, here's a shovel and a wheelbarrow. Sometimes that's how it looks. But you got to, listen, I would never have got that dirt into the raised flower, raised garden if I wouldn't have put the shovel into the dirt and the dirt into the wheelbarrow and wheelbarrow to the back and forth. We have got to put feet to our prayers. God will provide every avenue, but we have to step out in by faith. Hey, I'm going to have faith that it's going to end up having a victory at the end, so I'm going to do the work up front. Whatever God leads you to do, you do that. But the only way that we're going to know what God wants us to do is ask him. Jesus said, seek, knock, and ask. You have not because you ask not. Right? We heard that from James last couple weeks. If the worship team would come. Look at that. That's under 40 minutes. Hallelujah. You start jumping and shouting and raising your hands right now. Under 40 minutes. Praise Jesus. We got to understand. We got to dare to believe without seeing. We got to dare to have a vision in our heart for what we need victory over in our lives. We got to plan. We got to follow through with the plan. We got to believe. We got to dominate the circumstances with the force of faith. We got to practice using our faith. Speaking the truth. Listen, if you would just get into this word and start memorizing some of this stuff, and you can start speaking this stuff into your life, talk about it all day. Listen, you can get to annoying people by talking about the scriptures. Well, the Bible says I can have this. Well, the Bible says I can be healed of this. The Bible says and you can just annoy people till the cows come home. And that's okay, because you're speaking things into your life. And you can speak things into other people's lives that they may also have their victory. We need to learn to take our victory by faith. And we need to add to our faith corresponding action. Let your faith break through to victory today. Okay, I'm hearing this message right now and I'm cool with it. That's a good message. I'm all right with the faith thing, you know. I'm not going to do anything with it today, though. What? You going to continue to struggle with that same thing you've been struggling with? The same sin? I ask God for forgiveness over this sin all the time, but I still go back to it. Huh? You're struggling. Are you ready to get the victory over that yet? Are you ready to be tired of being sick and tired? Are you ready for the breakthrough on whatever aspect and whatever part of your life needs the victory today? Are you going to say, well, I'll do it Monday. Well, I'll do it next week when Pastor Jason's back. I'll do it. I don't care what your excuse is today. Don't let it interfere with what God's wanting to do with you right now. Right now. Stop with the excuses. Stop with I'll do it later. Stop with procrastinating, because it's never going to get you victory. What's going to get you victory is now faith. Now faith. Well, Pastor, I don't have any faith right at the moment. Bible says, do not despise the days of small beginnings. Start small. What can I believe God for today? What do I have need of right now that even small and insignificant that I can believe God for right now? You need a job? A good job. Not just any job. Believe it right now. Agree with God. Go to God right now. Talk to God right now. You need a healing in your body? Let's talk to God right now. You need a healing in your mind because you've been tormented? Listen, I think one of the biggest struggles is not our physical health, it's our mental health. I just can't, Pastor, I just can't control my emotions. I just can't control the way I think. I can't control that I want to, I'm angry all the time. And I want to hurt people all the time. I want to hit somebody. If we went across the room, I bet you there's a handful of people that are just what I described. I'm not judging you. I'm saying let's deal with that today. Let's use your now faith, today faith. Believe God that He has a plan to help you to overcome that and will work with you in the process. That's His promise to us. He said, I'll go with you always, even to the end of the earth. He's going to work those things out of your life that don't belong there and work the things that belong there into your life. But we have to agree with Him by faith. Let's plan to do it right now. We're going to open this altar. And I'm going to pray. If you want to come and pray, I'll pray with you right now. Tanya will pray with you right now. Because some of us right now need a right now moment. We need a right now victory. And tomorrow is going to be too late. I ain't got time to wait for tomorrow. Let's make a decision in our mind. Some of you have yet to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior and have eternal life and salvation in Him. And that's a big problem for you. Because you need Him today. You need Him right now. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. None of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. Corey's not perfect. Lena's not perfect. Tanya, well, wait a minute. Tanya's not perfect. We all are sinners in need of a Savior. That's why He died for you. That's why He died for me. That's why He allowed Himself to be crucified, but He was resurrected on the third day that we might have victory in salvation. Eternal life with Him forever. And our best life here while we're waiting. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank You so much that You've given us every opportunity to agree with You about our lives. Agree with the direction that You want to take us. And agree by faith that, Lord, You have the power to get us there. Help us to have a vision by faith and make a plan with You that we might walk into that victory as we put our faith into action. Lord, there are those here this morning that have yet to receive Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Lord, let that day be today. Lord, You said today is the day of salvation. God, reach out and bring them to Yourself today. Let Your love, Your goodness, and Your grace touch their heart and bring them redemption. Lord, those of us here this morning that are struggling with physical ailments, whether they be cancer, whether they be diabetes, whether they be a broken body part, whether they have issues with their digestive system. God's just bringing that to my mind. Lord, you have the power to bring us to victory in those situations. Lord, I pray for those people right now that, God, you would touch them, that you would bless them, that you would make them whole today. In Jesus' name, I pray for those who are struggling with the thoughts of their mind, struggling with their emotions, struggling with sinful activity in their life. Lord, let today be the day that they agree with you and they come into agreement. And Lord, that they would cast those things out of their lives forever. Lord, let their faith persevere in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This altar is open. If you would like to come as they sing and as they play, I want to pray with you. If you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please come. If you want to get healing in your body, please come. If you want healing in your mind, if you want God to touch your mind because you're tormented all the time, come to this altar. I want to pray with you. This altar is open. This altar is open.
All my words fell short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. One response, I've got just one room. With my arms just tried, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, nothing else fit for me, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on my soul, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on my soul, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on my soul, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you've called us out of the darkness and into your marvelous light. You've given us all things to richly enjoy. Lord, this morning as we go our separate ways, I pray, God, that you would just remind us that, Lord, we can call upon you and we can rely upon you. And by faith, we can see mountains moved. We can have victory every day of our lives through Christ. Lord, I pray you bless each and every one as we go our separate ways. And help us, Lord, to return next week and do it all again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. God loves you. Remember this one thing. You have victory in Jesus. Amen.